this whole chapter is really what the purpose of God has for you and I. It's really what God has set down.
If you're familiar with the story, God had called some disciples alongside of him. They had been with him for several chapters. Now it's chapter 10 here in the book of Matthew. They'd been with him for a while. And he sends them out to tell the good news. Because here's what I want you to know this morning. This is why this message is no fun. Because we're supposed to talk to the sharks. We're supposed to tell the sharks about Jesus Christ. We're supposed to share the good news of God, his love, his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, his compassion. We're supposed to tell the sharks, those who chew us, those who eat on us, those who bully us, those who are pessimistic and negative, those lemon sharks. We are to reach the sharks. If you read that 10th chapter, he comes down to this point here at verse 32. He says this, "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will as before my Father who is in heaven." See, God has sent his disciples. He has sent you and I into this world that is shark-infested world to tell them about him, to share the good news. It's fun to read the 10th chapter. Let me kind of prepare you to read it. When you're going to read the 10th chapter, you'll find words like this, "Don't worry." You'll find words like this, "Don't be afraid." You'll find words like this, "There's going to be relationships in your family." You'll find him telling the truth that there's sharks. You're going to go out, and when we live our Christian life and we live our life that God has called us to live, there's sharks in this world, and God wants us to tell them the good news, to tell them about who he is. Look again as he goes on down into verse 40. "Whoever receives you, whoever receives me, whoever receives you, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me." The objective, and here's what I wrestled with as I wrote these messages, and I put this one at the end. Because see, our challenge is to live in the midst of sharks in such a way that we can tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I like avoiding the sharks. Anybody? No. That's preferential way for treatment. Sometimes, I didn't want to use the word last week because I don't know if that's the right word. But I want to do, I'm going to say it this way. I was going to say kill the sharks. I want to do away with them. You know, I just want to avoid them. I want them to leave me alone. I want them to be out of my life. I don't want to deal with sharks in my life. Anybody else like that besides me? I just don't want to deal with it. And yet God has put me there for a simple reason. They need Jesus Christ. Here's one thing I've discovered over the years for me. The greatest way to change somebody who's mad, who is a shark, is to win them to the Lord. Because they start changing their character. Because here's the thing to think about. God wants the sharks, too. See, we look at our lives. I don't know about you, but I don't see myself as a shark. But I'm going to tell you, I bet if you talk to some people in Salida, they would say Gary's a shark. Honestly, you know, I'm on a school board, I'm on a sanitation board, I serve on all these committees in Salida, and I make some decisions sometimes that are not pleasant. A few weeks ago, if you live in Salida, I got good news for you. I raised your sewer taxes, okay? I'm a tax shark right now. All right, you know, we have to treat and we have to make decisions. I'm on a school board. I make some decisions, and I'm sure there are some teachers in the Salida School District that would call Gary a shark. Do any of you feel like you're a shark? But God loved me. See, and God loves the sharks. He loves everyone. Look at this passage here in Timothy. It's good. Now, God was, Paul was sitting there saying, pray, give thanksgiving. He's talking about all this, things to do. Then he says, this is good. It pleases God, our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why don't you circle that word, everyone? Does everyone include the sharks? Does God want sharks to come to him? To believe in him? To follow him? to experience His grace, to experience His forgiveness? Does God want the sharks? He does. I want to challenge us this morning to go fishing. I want to challenge us when we walk out the doors this morning, that as we live our lives, as we speak our words, that we have a challenge that God has put us as guppies in the midst of sharks to tell the good news of Jesus Christ, to share the good news. I want us to think about that. So if you look at your outline, I put it this way: let's go fishing. Let's go fishing. I just looked on my desk at church, and what's so funny, I'm going, God, I'm going to tell you what, I love God, and he's a character, okay? You know, I don't think we get God's humor all the time. I just preached this series on Let's Go Fishing, and guess what the offering for the state mission offering is going to be? Let's go fishing. Boy, I was ahead of them. You got a smarter. Yeah? Yeah? I want to talk about let's go fishing, because here's what I wrote. If you look at your outline, we are called to fish. You are called, every believer. Once you cross this, you hear me. There's this invisible line. And you cross this invisible line, you know, with a prayer or something like, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come to my life and take control. And you surrender your life to God. And you cross that line. When you cross that line, you become a fisherman. You're one who needs to fish, like somebody fished for you. My cousins, my aunt and uncle, my grandparents fished for me when I was 17 years old. They came and knocked on my door and said, hey, Gary, we're doing this at the youth group at church. Would you like to come and join us? And I probably would have been considered a shark at that time because I made fun of Christians. I've shared my story. You know, Christians didn't know how to use those good words, those nice words. Well, wait, not so nice words. You know, I made fun of those. They didn't know how to string those words together. And so I would have been considered a shark. But my cousins, my aunt, knocked on my door at home and said, Gary, our youth group is doing da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Why don't you join us? They were fishers. That's who Jesus called us to be. Listen to how he portrays it here. Matthew chapter 4. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea. For they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. He says, follow me. When we cross that line, we become fishermen. We are to go out and share the good news. Now, I want to be real specific here, and I kind of give you some blanks to fill in here, because we get all confused about telling somebody about Jesus. But it's real simple. The simple story is what God has done for you. So I put it this way. Here's a little outline I want you to fill out real quick. My life before I met Jesus. I was 17 years old, a normal 17-year-old kid. I was not a partier. I used drugs. I did not drink. That was not my lifestyle. That was not me. All right? But I also was not a perfect kid either. Especially if you ask my parents, they could fill you in on all that other stuff. Language, attitude, actions, behavior was not godly. My life before I met Jesus. How I met Jesus. Invited to a youth group. They were raising money to go to a church camp and invited me to join them and participate in this youth group. And as I was participating in the youth group, I noticed there was something different about these kids. I always knew my cousins were different. You know, they went to church. They knew all the answers at Christmas time. Jesus' mom. Yeah, sure. You know, Jesus' dad. They knew all those answers. I had no idea. Yeah. But there was something different, and I liked that. Then the next one says how Jesus became personal. Real simple. One day, they set me up. Anybody ever been set up? They set me up. We had church that night, Sunday night. We went over to my aunt and uncle's house, stopped by McDonald's on the way home. Anybody? All the youth hanging around my uncle's house, playing spoons and enjoying. Then all of a sudden, everybody disappeared from the table. They're all gone. Except for one. My cousin Linda pulls out this little piece of paper and starts telling me about God's love for me. your simple prayer of, God, basically, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. In my life and take control. You know, and then I have this. My life since I met Jesus. I can't tell you how much. You know what? I'm going to tell you. Becoming a Christian has paid off for me. I got a wonderful wife. Anybody else got a wonderful wife? Come on, guys. Y'all, you guys better raise your hands. I'll give you a chance to get some brownie points this morning. You know, you had a chance to make it pay off. You know, God blessed me with a wonderful wife. I got some beautiful kids. Well, they might not be beautiful, but they're wonderful. You know, don't tell them I said that, all right. You know, I got a wonderful job. I love Salida. I love being a part of this community. I love being your pastor. I love you guys. I'm blessed. See, that's all God asks us to tell. That's all God asks you to tell is your story. Just tell your story. That's it. Just a simple story. My life before I met Jesus, how I became aware of him, how I accepted him, and now my life since. See, I want to challenge us to be fishers. But here's the challenge. We are called to shark fish. That's the next point if you're looking at it. I got to fish for the sharks, for the people I don't like. People I don't want to be around. The people that are mean to me. People that hurt me. I still remember on the school board, we're having a really, really difficult time. The collapse in the economy devastated the school district. We lost 1,000 students in our school district. And we're laying people off. And we're doing all these things. And some guy rallies the parents and he's walking around. He has somebody walking around with a skunk suit at a school board meeting saying, "Something stinks in Salida." You know, he's talking about me on the school board. It's like, yeah, I want to show you something that stinks, all right. Yeah. But then as I'm visiting with the young man, he lost his jobs a couple of months later. My first reaction is, oh, boy, he got what he deserved, right? Come on. Don't you ever feel that way? Somebody's been mean to you, and something goes wrong in their life. You go, oh, boy, they got what they deserve. Am I the only one that does that? You guys are sitting there like, no, I've never done that. You know? But then I started realizing this guy had like 5 kids and lost his job. What's he going to do? You know what I was doing? I was praying for him. Not praying for bad things, okay? Praying for God to bless him. Praying for God to meet his family needs. Praying for God to watch over him. See, sometimes we got to fish for the sharks. And it's unpleasant. And it's not comfortable. And we don't like it. You know, somebody around people, the signs say something stinks. They say, you stink? That wasn't fun for me. You know, I went through 6 months of hell. But he needed to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Look at what it says here. He died in our place to take away our sins. Not only our sins, but the sins of all people. I'm going to ask you a question. Now, don't raise your hand and don't say anything. But are there some people you might not want to see go to heaven? Think about that. I hope there's not. Because Jesus wants all of us to go to heaven, doesn't he? See, we need to learn that we have to fish for the sharks. For those that hurt us. For those that are mean to us. For those that chew on us. You know, the best way to change them is to tell them about Jesus Christ. Because we can't do it. I can't do it. But God can change hearts. He changed mine. Change yours? See, God changes things. See, we live in this world. We have this challenge to go out and fish. So what I want to do real quick this morning, I want to go real quick this morning. How do you fish? Anybody here a fisherman? Anybody here ever go fishing? Come on. Come on, raise your hands. All right, we got a few fishermen here. It's been a long time since I went fishing. I used to, the kids are gone, so okay. Most of the kids are gone. So if you're a kid here, don't listen. I used to cut school to go fishing. Anybody? Come on, you know, I had a motorcycle, you know, I brought a fishing pole that I could break down in a bag, and, you know, and I'd put that bag on, and I'd drive down the Sacramento River, and I would, you know, steelhead are running, salmon are running, shad are running, you know. I was old enough to sign my own readmit. Come on, you guys, don't be innocent, you know, because I love to fish. So how do we fish? How do we fish for people in the world? How do I fish for those sharks? So the first thing I put here, you got to have the right fishing tackle. You got to have the right equipment. It's called tackle in fishing. You know, and like I said, I used to fish for different kinds of fish. And when I had a pole that was called a trout pole, nice little fishing reel, lightweight 8-pound fishing line, you know, you'd just go out there and fish for trout. Then I had a bigger pole that I would fish for stripers and salmon. Then I had even a bigger pole that I would go fishing when I was going to fish for sturgeon. And I had this different fishing tackle, you know, different rod and reel, different kinds of hooks, and you had all that different kinds of stuff. What's good about fishing for souls is you only need one thing. In order to be a good shark fisher for the Christian, you need a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that's it. There's no special equipment. You know, I wrote it this way, all you need is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's it. You need to have that story yourself. You need to have your own story. Now, just to give you a little hint here, I can remember writing my first time I ever wrote my story. All right, I'm going to encourage you to go home and write your story. I give you the 4 points, you go home and write your story. I was going to put a blank piece of paper in your bulletin, but I didn't do that. Anybody here have, you know, if not, it's going to be on sale pretty soon. School's getting ready to start. You can go buy a whole ream for 49 cents, okay? You know? But go home and write your story. My life before I became a Christian. My life, how I met Jesus, how I became aware, how I met him, how I accepted him, and my life since I became him. And just write your story. Because what we had to do, here's what I had to do when I wrote my story. Write your story, just write your story. You know, I ended up with like 3 pages. Then the guy goes, now I want you to be able to tell it in a minute. A minute? Because his point was this. When you walk up to somebody, can I have a minute of your time? Just tell your story. What has God done for you? And let me give you a little hint here. Just kind of put a mental note here. When you talk about your story, be real quick with the past. You don't need to have a whole lot. Have a lot about what it means today. You know, we all have bad things. I don't know, has anybody here been perfect? Yeah. We all have garbage in our life. But be quick with that. But when you get to the good part, that's what they want to know. What has God done for you? What has God done for you lately? That's where you really want to add a lot of stuff. So I just want to encourage you, tell your story. And here's what's real interesting. Jesus sent them out, and guess what? When Jesus sent them out, he told them, don't worry, don't be afraid, don't even worry about what to say. The Spirit's going to help you. He told them all this stuff. They go out and they start telling people about Jesus. Guess what happened? The sharks came. Peter and John get arrested. Peter and John get thrown in jail. We kind of talked about that in one of the messages here. But listen to what had happened when they got ready to get released. They said, we're going to let you go, but here's what, the one thing. You can go, you can leave, but quit talking about Jesus. And listen to what he said here. But Peter and John, them, you decide what God would want. Should we obey you or God? We cannot keep quiet. We must speak what we have seen and heard. He said, I've got to fish. I've got to fish. I'm going to talk about what I have seen and heard. Just your story. See, that's why I wanted to drive home this morning. All you need is your story. That's all you need. You don't need a big old black Bible. You know, I grew up, and I can tell you all sorts of Christian plans of sharing your faith. We had CWT. Anybody? Old Southern Baptist, remember CWT? Come on now. We had another program called Faith. How about Evangelism Explosion? Anybody familiar with Evangelism Explosion? You know, I had 2 questions. If you were to die today, would you go to heaven? And if you stand before God and God said, why should I let you in? What would you tell him? Evangelism. Anybody remember those programs? Come on now. Some of you guys, only one in here. You know, just so you know, I'm not the oldest one here either. Come on. You know? But it's not all that plan. It's what has God done? Just tell your story, what we have seen and heard. I got stories to tell you what I've seen and heard. I got stories of going to the state youth conference. Literally 5,000 kids there. Some of you were there during that one event. I mean, this one just burned in my mind. The guy preached his message. He gives an invitation, and the kid literally filled the aisles. The front was full. The aisle halfway back was full. God was moving. The kids are on their knees, and they're praying. It was an amazing experience. I got stories of what God has done. stories of how God has changed people's lives. I sit back and see people who, and just recently, who've made some decisions for God, who's turned their lives around. Some have went through the gospel and turned their lives around, and now they're making a living, and they're married, and they're moving on in life. Because God has done something. They left heroin. I've seen them stand barefoot, raggedy, tore up car, stand there bawling. I have seen and heard. That's the stories we have. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to share. So just share your story. So here's what I say. Here's my next point. I say, where do you fish? Where are you going to go fishing at? Now, when I was a kid, I'd get on my motorcycle. I'd ride up to the river on Sacramento River, ride down the river a little ways, and I'd just stop my bike, walk down the hill, throw my pole out. You know? Maybe go down in one of the sloughs and catfish. And now, if I'm going to go shark fishing, you got to have the sharks, right? I want to know where the sharks are. Sometimes I'd go fishing and catch nothing. Anybody ever go fishing and catch nothing? Come on, be an honest fisherman. Remember the big one that got away? Come on, you know. Yeah, but if I go fishing, I want to catch fish. I can remember one time I was up at Donner Lake, my dad's boss's cabin, and it's snowing, and I wanted to fish. I went fishing, and I went around the lake, and there's this buoy out there. And if I got within 5 feet of that buoy, I caught a fish. A few feet away, and I wouldn't get anything. I caught 12 fish in 2 hours. Now, I couldn't keep all 12. I had to release some. But I caught all these fish because that was a fishing hole there. Here's the good thing about being a fisher of men. Is there's fish all around us. There's people every here. Don't raise your hand, but I want you to think about this. Maybe you want to raise your hand. How many here have family members that need Jesus Christ besides me? Come on. You know, loved ones, grandkids, great-grandkids, children that you want to see with Jesus, a brother, a sister, an aunt, an uncle, a boss. How about one of those sharks? You know, that coworker, that neighbor that just drives you bananas. We have the fish are there. Listen to what Jesus said. Then his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord for the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. He's saying the sea is full of fish. We just need people to go fishing. Somebody was telling me they're going to raise the limit on some fishes. Oh, they've always kept shrinking the limit. I remember when you can catch 10. I was fishing for rainbow. It was 10. Then it went down to 5. They're there. There's a lost world out there that needs Jesus Christ. It's not hard to find lost people. Anybody? It's not hard to find people without Jesus Christ. They're everywhere. It doesn't take anybody. So I put it this way. There are people all around you who need Jesus. They're all around. You don't have to look very hard. You're going to run into them. They're everywhere, and we need to see this. We need to see this opportunity. And here's what I'm going to make sure I paint the picture for you. They're everywhere. I've been in line at Lowe's and had a cashier you could tell was frantic. She was just frantic. She was frustrated. And so while I was talking with her as she was ringing us and taking care, it was Dan and I, it was when we were building the church, if I remember right, talking to her. And what happened is she just got a phone call. Her husband had a heart attack. And she was worried and wanted somebody to come and take the cash register so she could go to the hospital to see her husband. Had a chance just not to really, hey, you got to accept Jesus Christ. But had a chance to, what's his name? Let me pray for him. And Dan and I will pray for him. And then we went back a few weeks later or sometime later and we talked to her again. How's your husband doing? And her husband did well. He got well. I went back again. I talked to her the other day. She still works there. Found out her husband had passed away. Got a chance to see hurting people all around us. And I like the Great Commission. Anybody familiar with the Great Commission? Anybody memorize it? Boy, you guys are quiet today. Is it too hot in here or do I need to? Yeah. All right, listen to the Great Commission. Some of you will recognize this. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am always with you to the end of the age. The Great Commission, this is what God called all of us as believers to do. Now, I am not, and most of you know, I am not an English scholar, right? Our English scholar is not with us this morning. I'm glad. All right? Because they'd make fun of me. I'm not an English scholar. But here's what I do know. There's one verb, three participles. Now, don't ask me what a participle is, but it ends in ing. I can give you that much. All right? There's one verb and three participles. The one verb is go. Why don't you circle that word go? That's the only verb. Making disciples, baptizing, and teaching are all participles. See the ing? They're all participles. But the verb is go. And here's the point. As you go, do this. So that's my challenge for you. As you go, fish. As you go to the store, fish. As you go to the family reunion, fish. You know, as you go to work, fish. Does that make sense? You don't have to go out. I can tell you stories where I'm sitting there at a hospital. And I've told you before this, we're praying with the one whose husband's having heart surgery. And there's a lady sitting over here, and her finally, after talking for a while, she goes, "Do you have to go to church to be a good Christian?" What did she just ask me? She asked me to go there and tell her about Jesus is what she asked me to do. Yeah. I think it's all around us. I've been at a golf course sitting at a table with some Christian friends that we had just played some golf, and somebody over there, they hear us talking, they make a comment. Again, about church. You have to go to church. Well,